Okay, so as I said earlier, we have, like I said, so that was like one star, major star. Now I want to talk about that one of the big things at Hope, and it kind of says in the name with the acronym, and unfortunately now you're losing some inside fans, but I think you've made many fans today. We have a special guest who, well, I think the best way to do it is for him to introduce himself, and we'll go from there. So if you could introduce to yourself, sir.
Okay, I'm Lucas, and I'm 16 years old, and this is my first Hope conference, or first conference for any matter in the first place, and I just did my first talk on Chinese mechanical locks, stuff about because Chinese locks are a relatively shielded topic. No one's really known that much about it, so I just did a talk about that.
So there's a lot of first and first and first, so we have many questions here. So my first question, though, is why is this shielding topic? Is that a Chinese government thing? Is that just, like, foreign ignorance outside of China for locks? Like,
yes, it's more of because of the language barrier that really causes the Chinese market to be a little bubble. No one really knows what goes on in there unless you know some Chinese.
Yes. I've heard that that doing business down there is very much the same way.
Yes, it is.
Yes. So a little bit about your talk here. So what in particular makes Chinese locks different from most locks that you find in other countries, as a summary?
Most locks that you find in other countries have been following the same blueprint, just improving on the same blueprint. However, in China, they don't really use the same blueprint. They've gone ahead and innovated in all sorts of ways. They've completely redesigned locks from scratch. They've done all sorts of interesting things, like free spinning locks. Like most locks in Europe, they try to make it hard, as hard as possible to turn the lock without the key. Mm-hmm. But in China, they've done the opposite. They made it super easy to turn the lock with a key, but it won't open the lock.
Ah, it's a little bit of trickery there.
Yeah, it is very trickery.
So, from what I understand, one of the people who really pressured you into doing this talk, and I'm glad you did, was my good friend Night Owl, who will be later on today at 26 o'clock, and is also, my running joke is that at Hope 11, Night Owl was everywhere. He's at like every 8 million talks and stuff. And this was your first speaking arrangement, your first time at Hope, so how did you feel like that your panel went? Was there stuff that you wasn't able to get to? Did you feel like it went fairly well?
It went fairly well, except for the end. I guess I had to rush a little bit because the time just went by so quickly.
I know. Trust me, working in radio, we know definitely about time going quickly.
And also going slowly.
Yeah. Oh, man, is this going to speed up? And all of a sudden it's like, wait, it's 8 p.m.? What the?
Yeah,
so this is also your first. Is this your first Hope, or have you been to, like, security conference stuff before?
This is my first conference of any sort.
Wow, really? Congratulations. What's your opinion of it as we sit in a literal foam Chinese box with dicks drawn everywhere station?
Well, I think it's awesome. It's very, very interesting. There's no way to really describe it. You have to actually be here to experience it.
Yes. Or you can listen in at Radio Statler anytime because we
also
pull
that.
In from that. Yes.
Of course.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we also live stream the talks. I think this year with the talks, it's something where they're automatically archived, so you can like view them right afterwards. And of course, you can get physical media here. So after with all of that chilling, what has there been any other talks here that you're interested in seeing or?
I haven't really been able to go through the
non-existent booklets.
Yeah, the booklets that I can't seem to like find anywhere. But I had to go through that because I've been preparing for my talk pretty much the whole time before the conference, and up until the conference, I was still preparing for it because I'm not sure what would have happened.
That's the way you do that. I remember thinking this is because Niall was telling me that this is the first time he's ever at a cons, first time speaking, and I wish I could have got you before. It's like, you have no idea, because we've interviewed them, how many keynotes where the keynote speakers are like, like literally redoing their slides 3 minutes before they talk, like the entire slide deck and stuff like that. So it's you'll have no problems.
Yeah, I was doing that because I was like, literally, before I came here, I was just trying to get everything in, adjusting the pictures and the animations.
So I'm also going to assume that you're part of the Church of Wi-Fi. Now that you're also part of Tool. Here.
Yes, it's a funny thing. I just joined yesterday.
Literally a lot of firsts.
Yeah. No. I've been to their meetings before. I just haven't gotten around to actually applying for their membership.
That's perfectly fine because technically I'm a volunteer here, and I volunteer a lot, and I always get all of my volunteer like badges and shirts at the last second before the con closes.
I tend to procrastinate a little bit.
That's, you know, if it wasn't called Hackers on Planet Earth, it would probably be called Procrasticon. Well, the other thing also about Hope is that, you know, we're technically, like, there's a lot of, like, you have RSA and DEF CON and stuff, and they're, like physically big, and they have a lot of sponsors, but, like, Hope and, like, I hope you get to see other conferences, because there's many amazing conferences out there. But what I always feel that makes Hope unique, and we could go on forever gushing about Hope, is that despite of how big it is, and that I think we're either near or at max capacity this year, it still feels like you have 3,000 plus people of, like, your extended family that you're seeing on, like, the 4th of July barbecue summer thing. Like, it doesn't have that, oh, we're going to trade in resumes that sort of thing that you see
Everyone's
in a lot of...
Everyone's really friendly.
Yeah.
You know, like, when I just got here, I thought it would be, like, all kind of... like, no one would be really talking to each other, but like, it's just like, you know, as you described.
You thought it'd be like the IRC, yes.
Yeah.
No, I actually...
I just want to say, my first Hope conference was also my first conference, and I was 17, so props. That was like a decade ago,
thanks.
But yeah,
yeah.
It's awesome. No. You picked the right conference, I got to say that.
Yeah, apparently this was, it was just because Night Owl basically encouraged me to go ahead and... apply for this conference. It was literally the Hope meet. It was the tool meeting. It was my first ever tool meeting, and Night Owl basically said, "You know so much about this. You should probably apply to do a talk at Hope." And so the deadline was the day, like the next day.
Yeah, it was
and
the next
I, like,
day. Yeah.
Banged out the. Whatever it's called.
And I hope for our listeners out there, whether you're listening live or archive, like, that's one of the big things about, like, a lot of people, and I even did this myself in the beginning. It's like, oh God, like, it's this, you know, big conference and there's a bunch of computer hackers that know stuff. Will they like it? It's like, if you have something that you're passionate about and you know what you're doing and you have something really cool you want to show, do not be afraid to apply.
You should totally show it. It'll make you feel a lot better.
If it's a talk, do it. If the talk doesn't accept it, we're Radio Statler. We're always here. There's also workshops and vendors where you can bring your stuff. There's just a whole literal circus covering many different topics here. So always, like, if you want to have an idea, don't doubt it. Just do it. And if you don't know how to do it, just reach out. Go on to Twitter and Reddit and IRC and stuff, or just ask around, because there are always people who are going to... When Radio Statler started, we're going to cover this with our own panel. Like, literally, it was just like, hey, like, we would like to do radio here. Who else would like to help out? And then over time, like, I remember the joke of, like, wow, we have staff now. Like, we have actual staff for this thing, and they keep coming back for no reason. So it's like, that always happens. There's always people out there who are able to help out. We're not scary until it's at 4 a.m. in the morning and we're all high. But just continue on with the stuff. So what has been the most unique lock that you've mechanism in China, and has it been circumvented yet?
Oh, well, I think the most unique, well, there's no real most unique lock. They're all unique in their own way. They're either highly insecure and too easy to open, which is unique because you never get, well, you always get locks like that. And you got the super secure ones that are nearly impossible to get open, and
That sounds like the United States government.
I've given it to one of the guys who apparently can pick a lot of locks, and he can't get it open.
So, well, I guess maybe I should rephrase my question to, which is your favorite mechanism that you've seen so far with Chinese locks?
I think it's the free spinning mechanism. It gives you, like, it makes you think you've opened the lock, but you really haven't. You're just doing nothing.
So it's like the little, like, because I know there's, like, some, like, because, you know, I'm not the, I, like, BS. I studied like Chinese philosophy, but I know, like, some culture stuff, and I know there's a lot of things of, like, stories about, like, you know, like, consequences of, like, wasting people's time. That's, like, one of the kind of, like, the themes with stuff. So yeah, I can imagine, like, creative lock people would be like, let's do something to make them waste their time. You know,
something that wastes the time actually is not really the lock mechanism. It's the packaging. There's just layers on layers on layers of packaging that you have to get through, and it wastes your time.
That explains a lot about American electronics.
And one of the things is that one of the locks actually came in, like, a can. So you had to open the can to get the lock out.
Like, with a can opener, there wasn't, like, an instant pull.
Well, it had, like, an instant pull, but to get the lock out, you had to, like, move your fingers perfectly so it didn't, like, that razor sharp edges didn't like cut your
finger. At that point, it's like, why even get the lock? Just order a giant can and just put your facility in that can.
Yeah, that is more secure.
Yeah. It's like a helicopter with a giant can open mechanism on it.
Yeah.
Your talk, because unfortunately mine's phased out at the end, did your talk had like a, did you take Q&A afterwards or just hung out with stuff?
Unfortunately, I only had like two Q's and A's, and then they chased me out.
What's the question that you wish someone asked you at your panel? I know it's Ray Statler we make you think.
I don't know, actually. I honestly didn't really want any questions. I mean, if someone's asking questions, it means I haven't done something correctly, I haven't explained something fully. So the few questions are okay, and I wasn't really looking forward to any specific questions.
Well, don't worry. If you become friends with Bernie S. in the future, you can definitely schedule out your panel so you'll have no Q&A at the end.
Okay.
Is there any like particular like vendors or activities at Hope that have caught your eye so far, being a first time here?
Of course, security snobs. They sell high security locks, and I feel kind of bad because when I just showed up, I was kind of awkwardly looking at the locks, and I didn't really talk to the guy too much, so I'm going to try again tonight.
There's a lot of, it used to just been awkward guys. There's a lot of both awkward guys and awkward girls around here. So as I said, if one way I could describe Hope in the 2600 meetings, and I don't know if you've ever gone out to any of your local, like if there's a local 2600 meeting in the area, but outside of Tool, you should definitely check that out, because the way I always described it is that my mom described it before she passed away. It was that it's a social gathering of antisocial people. So it's like, you know, if you feel awkward about stuff, or you're really passionate, but you don't really know how to talk to people, you're going to definitely feel home at here. Like, basically, like, my happiness, I've trained myself to be happy. I work in pharmacy, so I'm happy all the time.
Yeah.
So let's see. Just want to check a quick time here. So we have about 5 minutes left. So let's see. Two other questions that were floating around in that weird-ass brain of mine as I barely get attention. So let's see. Is this your first time in, like, this area of the city, too, or...?
Not really. I come to the city a lot just to wander around and do nothing, you know? You know, like, sometimes...
It's a great thing to do in Manhattan.
Yeah, sometimes, when I'm upstate, there isn't really much to do there, so I just come down and just walk around and wander.
Watch the homeless people bicker about stuff.
You see a lot of things, like naked people on the subway, for example.
Yeah.
So,
And if you really want to see, I mean, Last Week Tonight covered this, but the Port Authority of New Jersey, New York...
When I lived in New Jersey, I had to go through that.
Which part?
The Port Authority bus terminal.
No, I mean, which part, Jersey?
Morgan County.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'm in Somerville now, so I've grown up
in
Jersey. Ironically, a lot of the best hackers that you see around New York actually live in New Jersey, believe it or not. I don't consider myself one of those, but there's a lot of them. Let's see. And so... what was your, for a couple more, what was your biggest concern when presenting this talk?
Well, first of all, I was mostly afraid that I would just seize up on stage and just become...
You can't do any work than to knock people. Okay.
Yeah, so basically what it was is that I was mostly afraid that I was going to just look at all the people and the cameras and all the lighting equipment and all the stuff. And then they would just, like, kind of just... And I would just stand there and forget about everything. I would blank out.
Okay.
And, but that didn't happen, thankfully. And it actually went along pretty
well. You cannot be worse than the knock people drunk on stage.
Yeah,
you just can't.
Yeah, besides, what made me feel better, somebody said, who isn't related to acting, he's like, well, you know, you could always fade back into obscurity if it really went that bad, you know. No one really...
Speaking of obscurity, and I think this might be the last thing we're going to get on, is that... Your panel, I don't know if you expect this, it was packed. They were turning people away. There was a lot of people on live stream numbers, because I looked at the video live stream numbers. It was just a ridiculous amount of attention. Right. Now that you've let, and I know, because you can't see us,
no
so he's looking nervous now. He's like,
I'm not nervous. I'm fine. I'm just wondering
It's just so, now that the cat's out of the bag with Chinese locks, where do you see this going? Do you think the mainland's gonna care? Do you think more people will now start like breaking into some of the more like secure, interesting stuff? Like,
no,
where do you see this going?
Well, where I hope to see this go is that American locks are not that great. So where I hope to see it happen is Americans taking stuff like the good stuff from the Chinese, not the bad stuff, not the cheap stuff, the good stuff from the Chinese, and implementing it into their mechanisms. There's no real patenting system in China, so they can take whatever they want, although it won't be that ethical, but still.
But it's more experimental, basically, what you're saying. Yeah.
I mean, they're very good mechanism. I don't know why the U.S. doesn't use it. They're cheap, they're easy to manufacture, and they're very high security.
Mm. Well, I hope more people get in this topic. I'm hoping, because I'm big on, like, cross-culturability, is going to different countries and taking stuff and learning from that. So, once again, thank you so much for doing this talk.
Thank you, too, for allowing me on this
show. You're more than welcome. So this is our bright young star coming up here. He's going to enjoy himself at Hope, and now we're going to move on to more content on Radio Statler. Stay tuned.